Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 124 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode of 10 Minutes With, I get a chance to talk to Daniel Vaughn from Texas Monthly Magazine. He is a barbecue editor there. This one is so great. I'm honored that he would take the time again. This is now my third interview with him. The first one is more about his past and how he became the barbecue editor and about the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then also I have one, it's a barbecue city guide for Dallas that Daniel did. So this one is specifically about the new book that's coming out with Sam Jones called Whole Hog Barbecue, The Gospel of Carolina Barbecue with recipes from Skylight Inn and Sam Jones Barbecue. We get into how the book came about and like the whole process and how long it's taken to get this done. And it's very specific. And I think you guys will be interested to know that process. And maybe someday you want to put the book out, so you'll kind of know in advance kind of what you have to deal with. And then we talk about how detailed this book is and how different this book is and how, if you're interested in cooking whole hog, how this will be an amazing resource. You're going to get a lot out of this and understand what this book is and how his relationship with Sam Jones kind of shaped this book. Daniel is the person, if you don't know him, there's kind of two pivotal things that happen in Texas barbecue that have shifted it and changed it and made and helped to make it what it is today. In 2009, Aaron Franklin came out with his trailer, and I kind of feel like there's like a before Aaron and after Aaron. There was amazing barbecue in Texas, but he just put it to a different level and a different exposure nationwide. And then in 2013, in March of 2013, Daniel became the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly Magazine, and that further propelled Central Texas style barbecue and Texas style barbecue across the nation and across the world. So it's like kind of those two things, and I'm honored to call Daniel a friend, and he's always just been so helpful with information, and anytime I want to talk, he's there. So thank you, Daniel, for taking the time for this and for sharing about the book. And then we also talk about a new list that's coming out in April. It's the top 25 new Texas barbecue joints, and it's a kind of the midpoint between the next big list, the top Texas Monthly Top 50. So it's exciting. We don't talk about any of the people that are on it because that's a surprise to me and to everyone else. But so I think that'll be interesting as well. Well, I'll get to this now. Thank you, Daniel, again. And I'm excited to have the Smoke Sheet on board as the sponsor for the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter. It's a weekly newsletter. You can sign up at bbqnewsletter.com. It was started by Ryan Cooper. He is Barbecue Tourist. And Sean Ludwig, who is NYC Barbecue. The two of them have traveled the country, going to barbecue joints, going to barbecue events. And so this is a curated weekly list of the latest barbecue news, openings, closures, news within the barbecue world, as well as all the events that are coming up. So that way you can get on board and get tickets and book plane flights and reservations and all that good stuff. So that way you have a chance to go to these events, because barbecue events are some of the best things you could do. You get a chance to rub shoulders with some of your barbecue idols, and then also your barbecue family and people that are there. As well as there's links to YouTube stuff and podcast stuff, all barbecue related, and a barbecue recipe of the week. It's an amazing resource. It's definitely something that you will use. It's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you get all the back episodes. There's over 120 of these now, so I want to make sure that you do get all the back episodes, especially the two that I've done with Daniel, as well as I've done an interview with Sam Jones. So they're all within the archives and backlog. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, barbecue joint visits, butcher shop visits, a bunch of good stuff. But thanks so much. Really appreciate you listening. Enjoy. All right. Good morning, Daniel. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you again. It'd be nice to see you in person someday, but I guess we sort of are this way.
Well, I mean, there's so much going on out in California with barbecue these days. I'm going to have to get out there soon.
Yeah, I was wondering, I want to talk about your new book coming out. Are you going to be doing a book tour?
Yeah. We're working on all the scheduling for the book tour, but there it is right here.
It's so beautiful.
Did a book with Sam Jones of Skylight Inn fame and Sam Jones Barbecue. It's a little bit of a departure for me being the Texas Monthly Barbecue editor and all, but this book is all about Eastern North Carolina whole hog barbecue.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, because that is something I think that a lot of people don't understand what it takes to do a whole hog and how intense it is. It's a big process, and
it's a big process. Yeah, but I mean, the other challenge too is like, if you're gonna start a whole hog restaurant, you need enough customers like right off the bat to
True.
Eat all the pork from an entire hog.
Uh-huh.
So you've got that hurdle to climb. So you know, this the book goes quite a bit into certainly the family history and the restaurant history of Skylight Inn and of Sam Jones Barbecue and how they came to be, but also gives a really detailed instructions about how to cook a whole pig in your backyard with basically the same instructions, the same ingredients and everything that they use at the restaurants. And it's great because, you know, I love brisket. I love Texas barbecue. Of course, that's a given, but oftentimes to, in order to really get going and do it the way the restaurants do, you have to start off with some pretty expensive equipment, right?
Oh yeah.
You have to start off by buying an offset smoker. And you can certainly invest quite a bit in those. But to get started in whole hog in your backyard, you basically just buy a pallet of concrete blocks.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that like the cinder block style and do it? And do you guys give kind of a detailed description on how to build that, how to construct that?
Oh, it's not kind of a detailed description. It is an incredibly detailed. Like, we wanted.
Yeah, I think I misspoke there.
You know, Sam Jones has incredible stories. His family has a great legacy. So there's. That part was easy to tell. But trying to get an incredibly detailed description of how not only how you cook the pig, but like every step along the way, like how many blocks you need to purchase, how you need to cut your rebar, you know, preferably don't do it in the Lowe's parking lot like Sam and I did for the whole hog we cooked. In my backyard, we had 10-foot long rebar, and we bought a grinder because we knew we had to cut it. But I was in my car, and that 10-foot rebar wasn't going in there.
No, I get it.
Had to borrow power from a taco cart that was parked out in front of Lowe's.
Oh, that's great.
To plug in our grinder so we could cut that rebar. But anyway, it goes into every one of those details, like how to build the burn barrel, how to build the pit, how to where to procure a hog like that, how to season it, every step along the way about how to cook it. And then, you know, once you've got that thing in the pit, like you're not really even halfway there. Like you've got to cook that thing all night long. You got to cook it all the way through. Then you've got to make sure to when you flip it, crisping the skin, seasoning the meat, chopping the meat, serving it. We really have about 20 to 25 pages of the book is dedicated just to that process.
Wow. I know that the timing is just right for this book because I feel like people are starting to, even though it seemed like at the time, even when we spoke, a year and a half ago, barbecue, the interest in barbecue seemed to be at maybe an apex. But now I feel like people are understanding kind of what your world, the Texas barbecue world, and now they're kind of branching out and exploring the rest of I think at least within us, like the barbecue maybe nerd community or the enthusiasts, I think that this is perfect timing. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's been such incredible enthusiasm for Texas barbecue, both in Texas and outside of Texas. But, you know, whole hog barbecue, I would have told you 6 months ago that it was really on its way to a huge resurgence with places like Rodney Scott's second location, you know, him opening up in Charleston, with Sam Jones Barbecue opening in Winterville, just north of Skylight Inn. Now he's working on a Raleigh location.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought it was on its way back, you know, and certainly there are lots of new folks who are interested in doing it, but a lot of the old guys, man, they're going away. Allen and Son just closed. Wilbur's, they say they're going to reopen, but they had some tax problems. They're closed for right now. You know, just south of Wilbur's, is Grady's, and Grady is down there in Dudley, North Carolina. It's a wonderful old couple who runs it. They're great folks who make great barbecue, but they're not going to be able to do it much longer, and they don't have anybody who's going to take over the business. So, you know, whole hog barbecue in both the Carolinas and Tennessee it's in danger right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to see a greater interest in it right now. And the funny thing is people in Texas, Texas Pitmasters, barbecue joints, are starting to cook whole hog, which would have been unheard of just 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now you have like Cadillac Barbecue, does it once a month.
Feegis, right?
Banger Sausage House in Austin just opened, and that's all they do. I mean, they have some ribs, they have turkey, but no brisket on the menu. It's a whole hog barbecue joint in the middle of Austin, Texas, which is like mind-boggling.
And their setup looks gorgeous from what I've seen. The photos.
Yes, it is gorgeous. Like, they've got this beautiful pit room. They've got their hog cookers. Whole hog cookers were built either by the same person or with some help from the person who built Rodney Scott. So, yeah, it's a handsome build-out for sure.
Wow. How did your connection with Sam Jones – I'm sure you've seen him in many like different circles, but what was the – how did the book idea start?
Well, I guess Sam and I really became friends when he came to Dallas. So I was working with obviously working with Texas Monthly, but Leanne Bakunas, good friend of mine who was working for Texas Monthly at the time, her and I came up with this idea. Let's do whole hog barbecue in Dallas for a Texas Monthly event. And so we partnered up with Four Corners Brewery back then and brought Sam to Texas. I think it was his first trip to Texas ever.
Wow.
And he cooked for, you know, a full Texas audience, did his whole hog barbecue. We built a block pit right in the parking lot and cooked that hog together, served it together. And that was really where we became friends. And, you know, just saw him at a bunch of events. And my agent, David Hale Smith, who's his agent, Aaron Franklin's book agent, like, he brought up the idea, like, why don't we do basically a — we weren't trying to copy Aaron Franklin's book by any means, but what he did for brisket as far as explaining it step by step, why don't we do a book like that explaining whole hog and how you do it step by step, so that somebody in the backyard could really use this as a resource and feel comfortable that they could pull this off. And so, you know, we got together. I made many trips to North Carolina. Sam made a few trips here. We did that test cook that I was joking about in my backyard where Sam came. I had a pit already built. And he like, that wall's not quite in the right place. And that wall isn't.
That's hilarious. So
let's readjust this thing here. And so I made several trips to North Carolina as well to both to study the process at the restaurants, to recreate that process in Sam's backyard. And then also to, study all the different family recipes, from the Jones family that are included in the book as well.
That's incredible. When is the book coming out?
May 7th.
May 7th.
Is the release date. Yes. And there, you know, there's going to be events. I know we'll have some events in Texas. We'll have, events in North Carolina. We don't have a schedule out there yet, but, we're going to be cooking a lot of whole hogs.
And people, I'll put a link in the show notes, but people can pre-order that on Amazon, and people have been. I've seen links to people like tweeting about the fact that they've ordered it and they're already excited, which is really —
well, it's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've pre-ordered it too. So I think what you're saying too, it is going to be that step. I haven't seen something that's specifically a step-by-step guide to whole hog cooking and explaining the details about whole hog cooking, I've been reading up a lot, just because I've just saturated myself with Texas, Central Texas style barbecue so much that now I'm reading other books, people writing about whole hog cooking, not cooking it, but just the guys, like the history of whole hog across the United States. Is there a difference, or do you explain it in the book, or do you just talk about it, about pulling versus chopping? Because there seems like some people feel like pulling's better, some people feel like chopping is more appropriate.
Yeah, so I always laugh when I hear somebody talk about, like, yeah, we've got a, you know, on our menu in like Minnesota, we've got Carolina style pulled pork. And it's like, well, I don't really pull the pork so much in Carolina. Yeah. It's chopped. So, and now within the Carolinas, there's plenty of different ways to do whole hog, just like there's different way, just like they do it a little different in West Tennessee as well. So in North Carolina, the eastern side of North Carolina is all about the whole hog cooking. Yeah. And but most barbecue joints there who cook whole hog, they chop the meat that's inside the hog and then use the skin elsewhere, whether they make cracklings with it or they serve it in a different way. At Skylight, though, and at Sam Jones Barbecue, part of the cooking process, a really important part of the cooking process, is crisping the skin so that it's crispy like cracklings, crispy enough that you chop it into the meat. So you get that flavor of both the fire that's with fat dripping down into the fire and getting back up into that crispy skin. You get that flavor into the meat as well. Whereas in South Carolina, like at a place like Rodney Scott's, he's going to be chopping the meat within the carcass and taking all the meat out and then using that skin in a different way, you know, deep frying that skin and turning it into cracklings that you could sell. Either way you do it, you're going to end up chopping the meat really rather than pulling it. Now, if you have like a proper pig picking, you know, you get you put the pig out on the table and everybody gathers around, then all that's pulled meat,
yeah, that's
right? You're just pulling it off and eating it. But as far as serving it in a restaurant, generally it's going to be chopped on a block. At Sam Jones and Skylight, they make quite a show of it and make that block really.
Yeah, like in the mound, the meat mounds up, and
yeah, the meat mounds up, and then when you walk in, you recognize certainly the smells if you've been there before, and you know you have that anticipation of the flavor, but you hear that,
yeah,
that tap 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 tap, and it's just that constant chopping of that meat, that the meat and the skin together, that happens in that cutting block.
And when it's quiet, it's very quiet. I feel there's a stillness.
Yeah, there's no soundtrack going on. It's Skylight, you know. It's a smaller place, and there's no soundtrack or anything going. So yeah, when it goes quiet, it's really quiet.
Well, that's exciting. How long did it take you guys to put the book together?
Years. I mean, really, we if we go back to like some of the first interviews that we had, they were in like 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's been many years in the making, and you know, it took us a while to finally come together with a cohesive idea for what the book proposal should be. And for both of us to get to a point where we felt like we actually had the time to dedicate to it. And so, you know, then we just knocked it out, and it was so cool to get this.
Like, yeah, raise it up again. I want to see them.
Yeah. I mean, you get,
it's beautiful.
As an author, you know, you go through so many different iterations of getting of the book, right?
Oh, that's
so
cool. Photo.
You get things like, you get the first, you have this giant Word document that you put together and you're submitting that, and it's going back and forth between you and an editor. And then you get the pictures, you know, and then you start choosing the photos that are going to go into it. And Denny Culbert took all the photos for this book. He's an amazing photographer, really captures barbecue so well too. So, so you go through that process, then it gets put into a PDF document, and you see that PDF and you change in photo locations and which photos go in, and there's still editing going on and, diagrams, things like that. And then you get this final PDF and you get to look through it. It's great. It's a good feeling. But there's nothing that matches the feeling of coming home and you get the mail and you see this yellow package from the publisher, and it's thick, and it's like, okay, this is going to be it. This is the real book. So we didn't have any galley copies made of it. We just went straight to printing like the real thing and open it up, seeing those colors, you know, all those photos in full color, and seeing it all put together was, it's always a really incredible feeling.
That's so, and congratulations again, because that's just that on your journey. Now, what does Texas Monthly think about this? Are they excited for it?
I haven't really said. I haven't heard anything from them. Like I know that, I mean, I didn't take time off from my job or anything. I was just cranking along, still writing about Texas barbecue on the site. And really, when it was announced, like, my editor's like, oh, you wrote a book. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it also does spread your name to people that aren't within the Texas world that would see it. That, so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I love Texas barbecue. It's always going to be my first love when it comes to barbecue, but I love all kinds of barbecue out there. Yeah. Different American styles of barbecue outside the United States. I'm always interested in learning about new and different ways to cook barbecue, and just going through and extracting all that out from Sam about how he goes through this process was really rewarding.
Wow, that's just fascinating. And to kind of segue to Texas Monthly, you right now, are we in the middle? We're in between the next Texas Monthly Top 50 comes out in 2 years from now?
Yeah. So we do our top 50 comes out every 4 years. So the 2017 was the last one. So 2021 is the next one. But, that's a long time in between lists. It's a long time for a lot of new barbecue joints to open up. And I feel like there's a lot of folks who love Texas barbecue, but use that top 50 as a guide for
For
where they're
sure.
going to go eat in the state. We love to hear that, but there's so many other great places that have opened since that list came out.
Without a
And
doubt.
it almost feels unfair for like the sort of rapid changes that are happening in Texas barbecue to wait 4 years to give some of those new places some attention, some well-deserved
For
attention.
sure.
So we've got the 25 best new barbecue joints. That list will be coming out in the next issue of Texas Monthly. So that will be coming out in the May issue. So it'll drop in late April. And so that highlights places that have either opened since that last list came out, or places that I simply didn't even know about that I hadn't been to. I'm actually writing right now about Charlie's Barbecue in Beaumont. It's a place that does Beaumont style links. Beaumont's famous for that style of link, but the thing I love about Charlie's is not just the links, but the fact that they do everything else so well. His ribs are, as far as I've tried, easily the best in town.
Wow.
Does this great smoked pork chop and dirty rice, or rice dressing as they call it there. So,
So bizarre.
but that place, he's been serving those links and turkey legs from his food truck since like 2012. And it took me this long to he's finally into his own building and his own location. So it took until really just about I don't know, a few months ago for me to try it for the first time.
And that's what's nice too, is people use that top 50 list as a guide, but this will be a nice guide for off the beaten path places that people might not like. Charlie, I've never heard of that place. I had never heard of it until you had gone there. And I don't even know what is Beaumont style link. What does that mean?
So Southeast Texas, so Beaumont, Port Arthur, and a few towns around that area too, you'll find this very specific style of link, which it's an all beef filling in an all beef casing. And it's instead of sort of the austere spices of a Central Texas link or a Central Texas sausage that's going to have salt and pepper, maybe some cayenne in there. These things are packed with flavor. So lots of garlic, chili powder, cumin, paprika. They also kind of run red. The fat kind of runs red out of them because they've got so much spice in there. A little bit spicy, but not too spicy. The filling itself is coarsely ground, but often mixed with bread as well. And most people, some people bite right through the casing and eat it that way. Most people eat them the same way you would eat boudin, where you really slide the meat out from the casing.
That's what it kind of reminded me of, and that makes sense because it's southeast, right?
I haven't really been able to find a good connection between the way that people make these links with the way boudin is made. Because I mean, boudin really is done in a pork casing. It's just that those casings are still usually pretty tough because most boudin that you're going to eat isn't smoked. It
No.
doesn't get that nice snap to it the way that a smoked sausage gets. So I'm not really sure what the connection is, but certainly the way you eat it, there's a similarity that's hard to ignore.
Well, that's exciting for people to know that April, the end of April, there's a new list, and I think that
Yeah, there's going to be 25 new places to go to. Like some of them have been around since, I mean, like just right after the top 50 came out. So some have been around for a couple of years. And even my editors were surprised a little bit. Like, this is a new place? Like, yeah. Like, this is how quickly new places are opening up, that a place that's just 2 years old feels like it's been around forever.
Fort Worth is blowing up. There's a lot of different regions
Fort
that.
Worth is, I would say Fort Worth is about to blow up. Like, the pop-up scene there is really huge, and a lot of those folks are transitioning into brick and mortars. And I would say, man, by the end of this year, we're gonna have so many new legitimate barbecue joints in Fort Worth. It's gonna be tough. Like Dallas needs to keep up, and it's not right now.
Well, and the list too, going to make a top 50 list in 2 years will be difficult, or a year and a half. When you guys are starting to put it together, that's going to be really
Yeah,
difficult.
I don't know. It was hard enough. I don't know how we're gonna do it. Like, I don't know how we're gonna narrow it down to 50. It's gonna be really tough because just, I did the same 25 best new barbecue joint list in 2015. So we had our 2013 top 50 came out. I did a 25 best new, and those 25, it was pretty easy to figure out. Like, these are the 25 that we're going to include in here. Right. This time around, it was like, wow, which of these 40 places are we going to knock off this list? Like, there are so many new places opening, and being inventive and creative with barbecue. Well, just a review I just came out of Blood Brothers Barbecue. It was funny, this new place in Houston, or in Bel Air, like right outside of Houston. Three reviews of it dropped in the same day. So I wrote a review, Allison Cook of Houston Chronicle, and then the Houston Press released a review all on the same day. So talk about a hot new barbecue joint. But they're doing things like a Thai green chili boudin. They've got a smoked turkey banh mi on the everyday menu. When I went in, they had a smoked turkey and smoked sausage that they make, and smoked turkey gumbo. So it's like Texas and Cajun and Vietnamese,
all these
things coming together into one barbecue joint menu. And that's the kind of places that really excite me these days. And there's so many of them.
I also wanted to kind of get in just for a quick second, is I've asked a lot of people in Texas what it's like to when Daniel first arrives, and then what the response was after, like, Texas Monthly, either you wrote it up or after the top 50 came out. And it's amazing. I wonder, like, the power. It's just, I just wanted to, you obviously you understand the power of Texas Monthly, but it's just, it's such a weird, an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a big difference between, so there's levels of it, right? It's like, I might tweet about a place or put it up on Instagram, and I have heard from barbecue joint owners, and that either maybe a dish that I highlighted or just business in general might be up some if I do that, if I really praise a place on Twitter or on Instagram, either one. So I just talked to the Barbecue Barn down in Beasley. They said the same thing. I talked to the Slow Bone. I wrote about their pork chop recently, and so those certainly move the needle somewhat, but you know, the top 50 is a whole different animal. The way we had that barbecue passport where, you'd go to all the different 50 and get your own stamp, from each one and fill out the whole thing.
That
really, I think, brought a ton of new customers to places that, maybe they wouldn't have gone to otherwise, just because of the distances, Texas being such a big state. But yeah, being in the top 50, it makes a big difference for your business. You know, I talk about the power of Texas Monthly. You know, I don't think we have much in the way of, you know, this whole idea that, you know, somebody like a Pete Wells at the New York Times with one bad review could close a place, right?
true. Yeah.
We don't have that kind of power with barbecue. If you're a beloved barbecue joint in your town, and you've got a bunch of regulars, it doesn't really matter if I like your barbecue joint or not.
For sure.
You're probably going to survive just fine. If you're in the top 50, you certainly have a much better chance of thriving. But, you know, like yesterday, I just heard news of top 5 barbecue place in DeSoto, Texas. They just announced that they're closing.
Yeah.
Like, they're done. And, you know, that always hurts. But, you know, in the end, it's like, we can put you on the top 50. And it's probably going to help your business in the short term. But as far as like what you do with that long term is going to be what determines your success or not.
I think that's what it is. It's like, you could get all the write-ups. You could be even in Texas Monthly or on like Guy Fieri's show or the late Anthony Bourdain, like get some notoriety, but you still have to consistently day after day put out quality product.
Yeah. You have to keep putting out quality product too, but you also have to gauge like what of this new surge, like right after an article gets published, what is this surge that's going to be sustained?
Yeah.
And certainly, yeah, putting out good quality food every day is what's going to help sustain it. But you can't take what that new surge is and determine that's like
forever.
How you have to expand your business like immediately, right? Because some of that's going to fall off.
For sure. Well, cool. Well, thank you for all of that. And I wanted to kind of jump into three questions. This has obviously gone longer than 10 minutes, but three questions. The first question is, if you weren't doing what you're doing right now, what would you rather be doing, or what do you think you'd be doing?
Okay, that's easy. I'd be an architect. Like, I'm still a registered architect. That's what I'd be doing. So that one's a simple one.
Do you still get nerdy about it? Do you still buy a publication?
I went on a trip to Japan recently, and going to Tokyo, was walking through a park in Tokyo, Ueno Park, and I was like, wow, that's a Corbusier building. Like, that's amazing. It's right here. I didn't even know it. I wasn't speaking it out or anything. And, you know, going through Kyoto and seeing all those incredible old Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples. So I've kind of fallen back in love with architecture and really going to see going to visit different architectural sites as a tourist. And I say falling back in love because in the past before I was a food writer and spent so much time doing this, I would focus so much on a checklist of architectural sites when I traveled that I would kind of miss out on other things like good food and relaxation and things like that. So it's nice to just kind of run into some of these places. So I would definitely be an architect if I wasn't a food writer right now.
Well, maybe someday you'll be an architect again. You'll do a little, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, they've been telling me for since I've gotten this job 6 years ago that the barbecue's hit its peak. So every year I hear the same thing. So yeah, one of these days it's going to be true, I guess. And on the backside of that peak, maybe I'll go back to architecture. Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? It doesn't seem like it's peaking right now. So what's on your playlist right now? What are you listening to?
On my playlist? Wow. Oh, well, what's funny is, So I have an old laptop and I had all this music on it, like all the music that when I ripped all the CDs and, you know, sold them all to like Half Price Books, all that music that I ripped was on this old laptop, and it was all on that iTunes account. And I had never really bothered, like, you know, taking the music off of there and trying to get it into my new iTunes account. And so it was basically just lost, right? I mean, I had it. I had access to it. I just never used it. And so I finally just went through the long process of downloading all of it and putting it back and putting it onto my like external hard drive, right? This is all nerdy stuff, whatever. But so one of the things that I realized how much I miss is Garth Brooks. It's hilarious. Like,
that's funny. I think I even saw you tweet about Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I just tweeted about it last night. But it was funny. It was like, you know, this music that you haven't listened to in like 15, 20 years, whatever, and you play an album and you're like, my God, I know every word. Uh-huh. It's crazy. So anyway, yeah, the hot new release of like No Fences.
You're staying way ahead of the music.
Anyway, like Garth Brooks, and I've sort of rediscovered how much I love Audioslave. Like Chris Cornell is a lead singer of that. It was an amazing band that I think is not celebrated enough. Let's see, but these days, the new Ryan Bingham album, I really love Ryan Bingham. I love his old stuff, and the new album he's got right now is great. So, that's a new one I've been listening to. And, you know, basically a lot of George Strait. Like, I have the George Strait 50 Greatest Hits on my phone, and that one pops up a lot while I'm driving. But, you know, like any journalist, most of my long drives, it's just podcasts, man. I listen to so many podcasts. There's so many new barbecue podcasts out there too. So many. So much to keep up with. I do try and trim down how much of that I listen to. I do want to listen to some like podcasts for pleasure, right? Yeah. 99% Invisible is always a favorite. The Memory Palace. Those two are the ones that I listen to try and get away from just consuming barbecue information.
But and then so lastly, what's a restaurant that you're going to that isn't barbecue or that you're into right now?
Restaurant that I go to that isn't barbecue. Jose here in Dallas.
Jose.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place. So it opened a few years ago or maybe just a year ago. I don't know. It's been open a while, though. And Pat Sharp, our food editor at Texas Monthly, her and I went and ate there about the time. I don't know. It had been open for a couple of months when we went to eat there. And it was a pretty boring meal. There was nothing special about it. I don't even know if she ended up writing about it. But it wasn't a place that I felt like, man, I got to get back here. But Anastasia Quinones. She was at Cedar Social. She was the chef there, and I loved her food there. She left Cedar Social, and she became the chef at Jose. And Jose's really changed up their menu quite a bit based on the things that she loves. And so yesterday, I actually just went there for lunch for the second time in like 5 days. And she does a different aguachile every week. And so aguachile, if you're unfamiliar, it's like, you know, it's a raw fish with vegetables and fruit that is in a highly acidic sauce and, you know, like lime juice. And so anyway, she does a different take on it with different fish or different fruits or, you know, different vegetables every week. And so like this, the one I had yesterday was tuna and strawberry and rhubarb and cucumber.
Oh, so interesting. Fantastic.
And then she does these little riblets as well, which even when I'm not eating barbecue, I can't get away from it sometimes, but she braises these pork ribs. So braised pork ribs she takes like an al pastor seasoning, braises them in the al pastor, deep fries them to order, and then they're coated in like a pineapple, cilantro, and onion gastrique. So it's like the pastor taco, but on a bone at the rib. Yeah, that was good.
Wow.
So Jose is a place that I find myself basically. I just try and go get the aguachile anytime I can. And then another place that I love to go to is Taon. It's a Japanese restaurant here in town. Really, a trip to Japan, eating the food in Japan, made me realize how good we have it in Dallas for the fact that a restaurant like Taon exists here in town. Like, they do phenomenal Japanese food, and they do it all. Like, so I'd go to a soba place in Japan and be like, you know, Taon's as good as this.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I go to a sushi place in Tokyo, and it wasn't like I was going to like Jiro or I wasn't, you know, trying. I was with my kids, so I wasn't trying to go to like the best of the best places. But you know, I'd go sit at a sushi counter and just be like, "Yeah, Taon's just as good as this." Like, wow. So yeah, that's another one. Now it's a bit of a splurge meal because I like to go just get the omakase, which is $50 for lunch. It's a bit of a splurge, but it's worth every dollar of that.
Wow. So Jose and Taon.
Yes.
Wow. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for taking your time. I know you're busy, and I'm really excited about this book, and I'm sure a lot of people are. So at least they got a chance to kind of see what's coming up.
That's right. Well, I just hope that there are, you know, I hope the Home Depots and the Lowe's just like run out of concrete blocks this summer because so many people are building block pits in their backyards to cook whole hogs.
Maybe that'll be like an Instagram thing that'll blow up. It'll be pictures of like Home Depot missing blocks, and we have to start that. That'll be exciting. I'm so excited for you guys.
And, yeah, we'll make small time contractors pretty mad.
Exactly. Yeah. But thank you so much, and have a great week, and I'll see you soon. I look forward to you coming to LA for the book tour.
All right. Thank you.
Excellent. Take care. Bye, Daniel.
Bye.